Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I am your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. And today we are finalising our October theme of enduring powers of attorney and looking at kind of capacity with considering guardianship applications in the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal, which is also referred to as QCAT. So guardianship decisions come into play when someone you love loses the ability to make personal or health decisions for themselves. And so you can have a guardian. So usually when we talk about enduring powers of attorney, and you'll see my first episode for this month was solely on enduring powers of attorney, you appoint someone when you have capacity. Guardianship more comes into play when you have an adult with impaired capacity and they don't have an enduring power of attorney in place. They may have a disability, which means that they do not have capacity. So these are the kinds of applications that we're talking about. And it is different to a financial administrator. So we're not going to talk today about the financial decision making and an administrator, which is also dealt with by QCAT. Today, we're going to focus on guardianship. And when we talk about guardianship, the kinds of matters that a guardian would deal with include like where a person lives, what healthcare or medical treatment they might receive, what support services they can access, and other, you know, day-to-day well-being decisions. I think when people think guardians, they automatically think, you know, an impaired adult, you know, a disability impaired adult, but it can also come in for someone that may have a parent who has advanced dementia or some other person that just doesn't have the capability and capacity to make these decisions themselves. So in terms of guardianship applications, QCAT is definitely the place that you go, but it's not always necessary. So as I said before, if there's a valid enduring power of attorney in place, that is more than sufficient to cover these decisions. This is really, you know, QCAT comes into place in a couple of circumstances, and to be honest, probably not the best circumstances. I mean, if we're at the point of making a guardianship application for someone, things have usually really broken down within a family. So an application might be necessary if there's no valid enduring power of attorney. So that's the first one, where there's no valid enduring power of attorney. The person may not be able to have made an enduring power of attorney in the first place because they've always lacked capacity to do so. It may come in where there's conflict between who should make decisions or the type of decisions that are being made. So quite often when I do enduring powers of attorney, I will appoint more than one attorney. Quite often it will be a spouse and then two children that act jointly. So maybe there's a conflict between those two children and they can't agree. So that might be a time where you go for a guardianship application, arguing essentially that the other one doesn't have the best interest of the person in heart. So I did tell you this was getting messy, but you know, things have really broken down by the time we've got to this point. It may be where an enduring power of attorney is no longer suitable, or whether an attorney appointed. So when I say no longer suitable, it may be that the attorney is no longer suitable or the attorney has acted inappropriately. So sometimes I will find, particularly elderly people, if they really don't have any close family, they might appoint a close friend, but that close friend is also quite elderly and just is unable to make those decisions anymore. You may have a case where the attorneys have passed away or have become incapacitated themselves. So that might be an option. And always when, if there's an urgent decision and no one has clear authority, asking QCAT to appoint a guardian in those circumstances. So how does the guardianship process in QCAT work? So the people that can apply are close family members, health professionals, and in some cases, the Office of the Public Guardian, if they have concerns about the adult's welfare. But usually day to day, the people I'm dealing with are close family members that want to be appointed for some kind of reason. When you're going to the tribunal, the things that QCAT considers are really the adult's best interest. That's absolutely number one. What options are available, and in terms of if it's about a decision, you know, what could be open to that, or where there's a proposed guardian, is that person suitable, independent, and capable of acting? So when we're in QCAT, there's definitely medical evidence that's usually provided in terms about the decision, or if we're trying to say someone is incapacitated, just confirming that incapacity. Unlike some other QCAT matters, usually a hearing is done before the tribunal member, and these tribunal members, you know, they're very experienced in their particular area of law, definitely. So it's not so much that you're playing Russian roulette going to QCAT. It's just that it could be a difficult path, particularly, for example, where you have siblings that have alternate views about what is best for an elderly parent, or have issues with each other. Like many estate issues or elder law issues, it can be a little bit messy. So the things that I, you know, want people to keep in mind, and if clients come to me with these issues and we talk about guardianship applications, the things that you need to keep in mind really are getting good medical evidence. That's really key. And QCAT does rely on clear reports about an adult's capacity that may also help QCAT determine what the best interests of the adult are. I mean, the medical evidence is extremely important in that regard. You have to be ready for family conflict. I mean, disagreements, deep wounds, as I said, like many elder law or estate litigation issues, there's always some deep wounds, you know, bubbling under the surface. So I think definitely be ready for family conflict. I mean, if you're saying that one of your siblings you don't think has your elderly parents' best interests in heart, you know, that's probably a problem. QCAT also really does take into account the adult's wishes. So if they are able to communicate them, they should be identified and remain somewhat center of this process. And at the moment, I think people also need to be mindful of that QCAT is taking more time. They're under an immense amount of pressure in terms of caseload and workload. I think, honestly, this is only going to get worse as these issues arise. You know, I often talk to people about how 15, 20 years ago, these issues with early onset dementia, dementia itself, people living longer than they ever had, all these new issues are arising, and it's putting a lot of pressure on multiple systems, but one of them is also QCAT. So don't expect to get a quick result or a quick hearing. It is a process. So I hope I've given you today just a little, you know, flavor of guardianship applications in QCAT in terms of adults with impaired decision-making. Honestly, the best place to start is getting legal advice, particularly if there is an enduring power of attorney in place, trying to figure out the best way to navigate anything without going down this route. Like any kind of litigation, it can be costly. And sometimes I feel, you know, the real interests of the person can get lost. So if you're doing this and thinking about this, make sure that you're getting legal advice. And as always, you can pop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar, and we can talk through your issue. So that wraps up September in terms of enduring powers of attorney, which has been a great month. And as I said right at the beginning, great for me because I went to a whole conference on incapacity. And next month, we're delving into romantic relationships and your estate planning. Maybe something that I should have done in February for Valentine's Day. But here we are in October looking at, you know, what happens when you get married and looking at de facto relationships and safeguarding, you know, future relationships. So that will be really exciting. So I can't wait to speak to you next week. In the meantime, have a great week. Pop on my website if you need anything. Socials, Insta, Facebook, I'm all over it. So thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.